Ephesians chapter 18, and we have been discussing walking in the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. In verse 18 of Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul encouraged and he commanded, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." It's a command. And notice one of the key factors in being filled, that is, under the control of the Holy Spirit, is this in verse 20. Always, always giving thanks. Not just at Thanksgiving time. Not just when things are going like you wanted them to go. You got a raise on your job versus losing your job. In all things, always give thanks to God for everything. Does that mean you give thanks because you lost the job? We'll see. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we need your help. Because we are addicted to only giving thanks when things go well. And begin to complain when they don't. Please change us. Use this sermon. Use our preaching and hearing by the power of the Holy Spirit to change our attitudes, to change our hearts. And let us walk in the Spirit and give thanks. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you experience the power of the Holy Spirit in adversity? Are you joyous, so joyous that you thank God even in the midst of it? You say, "Well, Pastor, how can that be that I thank God when things go wrong, when things go bad?" Well, he's telling us here that in good times or bad, we're to give thanks. I believe that you can experience, in fact, more joy, more of the Holy Spirit in difficulty. See, how can that be? More joy, more peace, more thanksgiving in difficulty. Because I believe that in suffering and adversity and brokenness, we draw closer to God. And in brokenness, the Holy Spirit can flow more so in us. What does adversity mean? What does brokenness mean? It means that you can't do it. And you no longer depend on your strength, but the strength of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, the message is simple. Walk in the Holy Spirit, giving thanks while you walk. Walk in the Holy Spirit, giving thanks in adversity. How? By faith. Through grace. Or shall I say, by grace through faith. For it's only by God's grace can we be empowered. And it's only through believing that we are being empowered by God can we give thanks. Can we rejoice in difficulties and trials? Like I said, what if there were no turkey? What if you could not afford a Thanksgiving meal? You could not even have enough gas to go to the food line to pick up some food. What if that was the case? Would you still give thanks? I am reminded of an individual. His name was Taller, and he was a minister, a preacher back in the 1500s. And he walked by and he saw this beggar. And he said to this beggar, he said, "God give you a good day, my friend." And the beggar answered, "I thank God I've never had a bad one." The minister said again to him, "God give you a happy life, my friend." The beggar said, "I thank God I am never unhappy." The minister said in amazement, and he responded to him, "What do you mean?" "Well," said the beggar, "when it's fine, I thank God. When it rains, I thank God. When I have plenty, I thank God. I thank God when I'm hungry. I thank God Why should I say I'm unhappy when I'm not? I believe this beggar learned the secret of walking in the Spirit. He thanked God. He's saying, God, I recognize that you are the source of everything, good and bad. See, we want to say that God is good when He's giving us good things. And we'll even say the platitude, you know, God is good and all the time God is good. But the test of whether or not you really believe it, and all of this comes by God's grace through faith, is when you don't have it. When you're down and feeling that all is lost. I believe that we walk by the Holy Spirit and depending on His power and not ours, His grace, to have a happy life. You see, it's not the absence of problems. It's the presence of God that gives you a happy and fulfilled life. It is not as we go from Thanksgiving to Christmas, oh, getting all that we wanted for Christmas. Do you think that's going to make you happy? Do you think your mate will make you happy? Won't. Can't. Only God can. And then you can be the proper mate. It's not stuff. It's the Holy Spirit. That's the secret to living. And you give thanks when you don't have, because you have faith in God who you were depending on to take care of you. And you know that God is using the difficulty you are in for a good purpose, a purpose for His glory and for your good. I asked a question earlier. Does it mean you give thanks for everything? Is that what Paul is saying? In other words, you give thanks. God, I thank you that you gave me cancer. God, I thank you that you gave me this automobile accident. I don't think that's what Paul is saying, even though it is worded that way in the NIV in Ephesians 4. Paul is his own commentator. Let's let Paul explain himself. Come with me to Philippians chapter 4. For I believe Philippians 4 is a good commentary, 4:6, on Ephesians 4:20, to give thanks in everything, is really what the Apostle Paul is saying. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. He says, do not be anxious. Don't be worried. How many of you worry? I do. Especially when things aren't going good. Well, how am I going to make it? How am I going to make ends meet? Do not be anxious or worried about anything. That's faith. And that faith is not something you work up. This is faith that the Holy Spirit gives you. But in everything, not for everything, but in everything. And in everything, you're seeing God. And that's why you can give thanks to God for everything. Did you catch what I said? Did you get it? In everything, you can see God. Even in the worst situations, you can see God. See, that's faith. Faith is not looking at the circumstances, it's looking at God in the circumstances. But in everything, by prayer and petition, notice, with thanksgiving. God, I am in this situation. I've got a health problem, and I know you're in it. I know you're in it with me because you promised that you'd never leave me nor forsake me. With thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God. Hey, this is a wonderful day, even though my body is hurting. This is a wonderful day, even when I'm depressed or going through mental anguish. I can still praise God, even in the storm. I can praise Him. I can give thanks to Him. Thanks for what, you ask? I will tell you later. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Why should that beggar, when he has nothing to eat, who cannot even give thanks over a meal? We ask God to bless the meal and give thanks for the turkey. He has no meal to thank God for, but he is still thanking God, though he's empty. What about you and I? See, this is what God wants from us, is to trust Him and know that His grace is sufficient, which transcends all understanding. Doesn't make sense, but it will guard your hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Guard it from what? Discouragement. Listen, we are in spiritual warfare. The flesh against the spirit. The devil against the kingdom of God in us. And the battlefield is your mind. You will follow what's in your mind. Is thanksgiving and praise and faith in your mind? Are the troubles in your mind? In everything. In everything, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, is with you. Not talking about Star Wars. May the Force be with you. The Force is nothing. We're talking about a person called the Holy Spirit who gives us the faith to believe. He is God's empowering presence who's in us. You know what Paul said? He said, you know what? He said this in Philippians 3. I want to know Him. How do I know Him? In the fellowship of His sufferings. No, Jesus suffered. You want to have fellowship with Jesus? Suffer. And God will bring suffering. You may have thought it was the devil, but God is in charge of the devil. God will bring suffering so you can have a greater fellowship with Jesus Christ. And then He said, and that I may know the power of His resurrection. The gateway to power in the Holy Spirit is through suffering. And as you go through it, you thank God for it. Why? Because of the power you will experience. The Holy Spirit empowers us to believe. He empowers us. The greatest blessings are often wrapped. So you're going to be wrapping presents, right, in a few weeks. The greatest blessings are often wrapped in adversity. Now, who would take a gift, a blessing, and give someone and the worst-looking wrapping paper they can find? God does that sometimes. And we trip out on the wrapping paper. Because we're not looking through the eyes of faith to see God in it. To see it that everything that comes into your life is a gift from God. We sang at the beginning of this service, blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives and take away. In adversity, in the desert. You don't want a desert, right? You want all sunshine, right? Guess what all sunshine makes? A desert. For if it doesn't rain, you're going to have a desert. God knows we need rain and sunshine. He knows that we need those gifts sometimes wrapped in adversity. So we won't look at the outside, look at the inside. We'll look at God. We won't say, God, this is not a good gift because we're looking at the outside. This doesn't look too good to me. Isn't that how we respond? This looks bad. Don't we say that? This is bad. And all we're looking at are the outward circumstances. And we're not looking through the eyes of faith. The eyes of faith. You see, let me ask you something. How long does the wrapping paper last? Do you put the wrapping paper up on the shelf? Now, some of us keep the wrapping paper. Sometimes we need to let it go. The circumstances, the problem. Or do we focus on the gift that's inside? I'm telling you, there's a gift of God from whom all blessings flow. We praise Him. But we've got to look through the eyes of faith. And the eyes of faith are, number one, that God loves you unconditionally. Do you believe that? See, that's what gets me through. As I go through suffering or things I can't understand, I know that I know that I know that God loves me unconditionally. That He is my Father. See, even the Holy Spirit reminds me, you're His Son. You're His child, and He loves you. You're His heir. Romans 8:28 says that God works all things together for the good for those who love Him. You know why we love Him? Why? John says we love Him because He what? First loved us. Remember that. Not that we loved God, but He first loved you. That's the first pillar of faith. God loves me. The second one is that He works all things together for the good. That's the second one. He is sovereignly, independently in control of all things, good and evil. Even Job said, "Shall we receive only good from the Lord and not evil?" He even recognized that evil came from the Lord and there was a blessing in it. Why? Because he knew God loved him. God is in control of evil things, automobile accidents. Does God do it? No. But God is in control of it. When the devil came to God about Job, God said, "Have you considered my son, Job, my servant Job?" And the devil said, "Let me do this. Let me take away all that he has, and he'll curse you." He says, "Go ahead." But notice the devil had to get permission from God. God is the God of Satan. That is, not that God is evil, but Satan must bow the knee to God and worship Him and do what He says. That doesn't mean he obeys Him. But I'm talking about in the earth to work God's plan. God is using the devil. The demons rejoiced at the death of Jesus. But it was what God had ordained, we read in Romans 4, which brought a blessing. One of the greatest blessings of them all was the death of his son. And Job said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord takes away." We sang it again. I'm repeating it again because I want you to get this. The Lord gives. You ought to be thankful when he does. Blessed be his name. The Lord takes away. Blessed be his name. Give thanks when he takes from you. You say, "I thought it was a gift." It is. It is. Job lost his children and all of his property. And he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away." And you know what else God was about to take away as far as Job could see? His life. And you know what Job said in Job 13:15? He says, "Though you slay me." Would God take your life? Took the life of his son. And he's going to take every one of our lives in this life, sooner or later. And you know what Job said to God? "Though you slay me, I will trust you." The eyes of faith. For he looked beyond because he said, "I know that out of my flesh I will see God." So he saw the blessing in that. He didn't look just at the wrapping because he was wrapped with sores and boils, but he knew it was a blessing in there. "And though you slay me, I will trust you because I know there's a blessing. I know you love me and I know you're in control even of my circumstances." And therefore he could give thanks in circumstances that most of us will never have to go through. Romans 8:29, he says he's doing all of this that we be conformed to the image of his son. What greater gift could he give you to make you more and more like Jesus? Through trials, through adversity. That's why we need to give thanks. Come with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. That's why we should walk in the Holy Spirit, giving thanks in adversity by His grace, which enables us to believe and walk through faith, believing in the goodness of the Lord. Even when He brings adversity, we must testify through faith that God is good. And I tell you, I've had my difficulties. I've been through circumstances. God, how could you do this? I know you love me. I'm your child. How could you do this to your son? And we wrestle with it. But because of the Holy Spirit in us, witnessing with our spirit, we come out of it and he says, I believe. And God puts up with our foolishness. He puts up with our spiritual immaturity as we whine and cry. But as we go through this journey of sanctification by and through the Holy Spirit, he changes our whinings and our complainings into praise and thanksgiving. It is his work. But I'm trying to tell you, and I want you to understand the process so that you can give thanks in all things, in adversity, as you walk in the Spirit. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith. Now listen to what he's saying. He says, since you understand you are saved by grace through faith, realize that the whole process is also, which is called sanctification, making you more and more like Christ by grace through faith. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But he's not just interested in giving you eternal life. He's interested in making you like his beloved Son, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Because we know he's working something. Working something, as James and Peter testified to the fact, that is more valuable than gold and silver. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. God wants to make us like Jesus, who never gave up, who never stopped believing, who continued through the flame and through the fire. That's valuable. That you don't give up. You keep trusting. And perseverance character. That you will do right no matter what. If it costs you your life. I am reminded of a Romanian pastor. His name is Richard. He's dead now, but Richard Wurmbrandt. And he spent 14 years in a Romanian prison for preaching the gospel. His captors crushed four of his vertebrae in his back, making him a virtual cripple while in prison. They either cut or burned 18 holes in his body. But they couldn't defeat him. By the Holy Spirit, he had the character. By the Holy Spirit, he persevered. He would not quit. He would not give up. They couldn't defeat him. He testified, quote, alone in my cell, cold, hungry, and in rags, I danced for joy every night. Cold, hungry, I danced with joy every night, unbroken. Standing in the strength of the Lord. Let me go back to Romans. We also rejoice in our sufferings, for we know suffering produces perseverance, just like his. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. He had a hope. He knew that he was bound for glory. He could see past the wrapping of adversity to the gift inside the box. The gift not only of eternal life, of long life, but a life in glory. And hope does not disappoint. Why? Because God has poured out his love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us. He's speaking of the fact that we can go through all that because we know we're loved. Why? God has poured out in our hearts his love by the Holy Spirit who keeps reminding us that you are loved. You are his son. You are his daughter. You are an heir. You are a child bound for glory. This is why Paul wrote in Romans 8 that the present sufferings, this wrapping paper of adversity and affliction is not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. The automobile accidents, the marital problems, the children problems, the sickness, the lack. It's not meaningless. There's a gift in it. There's a work of God being done in our hearts, in our minds. And we need to be thankful in adversity. I want to leave you with the Apostle Paul. His example. Powerful example. In 2 Corinthians, a man acquainted with sufferings. We could go to chapter 10 and 11 of 2 Corinthians and read about his adversity. Read about his sufferings. I want to go here because it involves God's grace. It involves faith. It involves the Holy Spirit. All the things that we've been talking about that is necessary to walk in the Spirit. In chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, Paul says this in verse 7. To keep me from becoming conceited. See, God had shown him great and marvelous things about heaven. And it's so easy to depend on ourselves and think of ourselves rather than looking to God and depending on Him through the Holy Spirit. So God gave him a gift. What if God gave you a gift to keep you from being puffed up and proud and conceited? Would you want that? Or would you want to be puffed up, proud, and conceited? Now that is an interesting question. For with the puffed up, proud, pride, and conceit, there's no suffering, quote unquote. With the gift that will keep you from being puffed up, proud, and conceited, there's pain. Which gift do you choose? The one that's wrapped beautifully and brightly, you can keep your conceit, your pride, no suffering right now. So you're going to pay later. Or the gift God has for you. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these great surpassing revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh. It was given. Would God give you a thorn? Thorns are painful. And some translators and some Bible commentators believe the thorn is not the word here. It is a stake. It's not some little sticker bug that you picked up in the yard as a thorn. No! It's a stake. God gave me a stake. Notice the stake, the difficulty, the adversity came from God for a greater spiritual purpose to keep you from becoming conceited. Maybe some of the things you've asked for, the Holy Spirit said, no, don't give him that. He doesn't know what he's asking for. Give him the adversity instead. For Romans 8 says that the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. We don't know what we ought to be praying for. You say, God, I didn't ask for this. But God is sovereign, and God loves you. And you look at Him through the eyes of faith. I know He loves me, and I know He's in control of all things. He's given me this. Look at it as a gift. And a messenger of Satan. Would God use Satan or a messenger from him to bless you? Satan doesn't come to bless you. He comes to kill and to destroy. But God can use it to bless you. Remember Romans 5. Perseverance and character come through suffering. John MacArthur believes that this messenger of Satan is a demonic person. Because, you know, we often even today said, boy, you are pain in the... Speaking of a person... Or that person is a thorn in my flesh. He believes, and we don't know what it was, that it was a person who always was stirring up trouble for Paul. And it was unceasing. And you look at Paul's life, every city he went to, He was persecuted. He had trouble. He was only going to do good, and there was always trouble. He had his critics at Corinth. He had attackers here and there. They would stone him and drag him out to the edge of the town. He had a hard time. You can read about it in 1 and 2 Corinthians and other places. To torment me. This was, one translation says, to buffet me. It was like the waves coming and going. You know when the wave, the tide goes out, you know another one's coming in. Continual going. No rest. No rest. I'm going to tell you something. When God has you in these situations, He promised, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that He will not give you more than you can bear. But with each situation, each trial, give you the strength that you may, a way of escape. You say, oh, I get out of the trouble. No, it says that your way of escape, that you may bear it. Warren Wisby said this. He said, when you're in difficulty, when you're in fiery trials, when you're in the furnace, realize that God loves you and that God has His hand on the thermostat of that furnace and His eye on the clock. He knows just how much you can bear. He knows just how long to keep you in the furnace so that He can mold you and shape you more and more into the image of His Son. And for that we ought to give thanks. Paul went on to say, three times I pleaded with the Lord, take this away from me. But you know what the Lord said? My grace. My empowering presence is sufficient for you. You want what's sufficient? It is the Holy Spirit, His empowering presence. For my power is made perfect in weakness. This thorn in the flesh, Paul began to recognize the beauty of it. I hold here a rose. And up and down the stem of this long stem rose, or what? What do you feel, James? Just run your hand down through it. Anybody want to feel what a thorn feels like? Anybody want to have this continually day and night? Want to have it day after day, year after year? Thorns, thorns. I move it to, so that you can feel it. How many of you want that? God says, my grace is sufficient. He asked the Lord three times, remove this thorn from him. And the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, I had the end of this rose covered. Ah, a beautiful rose. You see, there are no flowers without thorns. In fact, in the life of this rose, there was a time when there was no flower. Right? Just a tiny bud and thorns. But the thorns were part of the maturing process to where we get a beautiful, beautiful rose. Here, my love, I give this rose unto thee. Let's go back to the scripture. My grace, verse 9, is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast, I will give thanks all the more. How about us? I will do what? Therefore, I will boast all the more. I'll give thanks all the more. Why? Because you're looking through the eyes of faith. God loves me. He's in control of this. He's given me this as a gift. The thorns are a gift. When the thorns were placed on Jesus' head, they crushed into His skull. Was it a blessing or a curse? He became accursed for us that we might be blessed. What if your thorns, that God placed them there in your life so that you could be a rose to someone else, so that you could understand, so that you could be compassionate? You need to thank God for adversity and trials and suffering, so that you can be a comfort to other people. It's not all about you. It's about the glory of God. And God is glorified as we can give our lives to others and share the beauty of His love. So therefore, Paul said, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, about my thorns, so that Christ's power may rest on me. You want to experience the power of the Spirit of Christ? It is through the thorns. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in criticism, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, when I'm broken, then I'm strong. For it is not my strength, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit in me. And through Christ and through His Spirit, I can do all things, Paul said. Even be thankful. We can't do this on our own. It is by His grace and by His faith. So I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, receive the gift. You say, I don't want to receive it. I've been praying to God to get rid of it. Whatever your adversity, whether it be health, whether it be mental and emotional problems, problems with children, problems with mate, problems on the job, sickness in your body, receive it as a gift and stop trying to rebuke it. I rebuke this in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm giving it to you, brother. This is a gift. And I'm giving you the grace that will be sufficient for you to mold you and change you. Receive it as a gift. Accept it. Embrace it. I don't want to embrace that. Embrace it and give thanks. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. It was not to be rejected. And receive it with thanksgiving. Receive it with thanksgiving. So, brothers and sisters, let us walk in the Holy Spirit, giving thanks in all things, in adversity, by the grace of God that will strengthen you, and through faith in Him who loves you and is working all things for the good, that you may be molded and shaped into the very image of Christ. Father, we thank You so very, very much that You're teaching us, that You're maturing us. We admit, Lord, that sometimes we're like babies, crying because we didn't get what we wanted. Grow us up, even through trials and difficulties. You know how much to give us and how long it's to be. Just help us to trust You and to walk in Your Spirit by Your grace. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.